Sophia.
And this is Breakpoint Radio, your irregular takeaway of tech news, views, and cafe reviews.
Right, so I guess for the ever-expanding Breakpoint crew, we're joined by another couple of people this week. So we have what are becoming the mainstays, Dave and Martin here with Sophia and I. But we've also got Noel and Danielle here with us today. So,
hello.
Do you want to tell us a bit about yourselves, what you do and maybe what you've been up to recently?
Well, ladies first.
So what brings you to London today? You're doing a talk tonight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah? What's the talk about?
We're going to talk about Hisbitty plugins.
Okay. What bit about them?
Well, it's just some general background information about them to maybe remove the hesitation that some people might have to try and write some. It's really not a difficult thing, but just like me, who had to look into them in order to prepare for this talk, to come out of it able to do a lot more than I could before.
SBT is a common challenge I found for people, so actually anyone doing talks around SBT and Corsia is probably a good thing. I think that helps everyone. And Noel, what brings you into town today too?
Well, I am down here mostly to talk to Danielle. So Danielle and I have been on a project together implementing a rather fun time series analysis system for a client over in the US. Danielle's based out of Brighton, I'm near Nottingham, so even though we're in the same country, we don't see each other that often, so it seemed like a good opportunity to meet up and chat with Danielle and with Dave.
Yeah, catch up with all the crew,
So
remote working, what kind of tools are you guys using to support that?
Because
that's been a bit of a theme over the past episodes where we've covered quite a lot of bits and bobs. But
yeah, I think remote working definitely brings its own challenges. So just specifically around the tools, we would be based in some kind of chat application like Slack or HipChat. We use both at the moment. And what we found really useful is to have very lightweight voice chat. So the thing we're using here is a tool called Sococo. The thing about Sococo is it allows you to kind of sit in this virtual office, which is not really that important, but you can quickly see who's around, and you can see who doesn't want to be talked to because they might be in a different room in the office to you, or they might have sort of marked themselves in one of the places that indicate you're not around. And you can just very quickly just chat to people straight away. You don't have the kind of formality of setting up a hangout and this type of stuff.
Have you both found Sococo quite good? It feels like one of those things that needs a critical mass of people to be in there and active for it to...
Probably
has a mushroom effect.
For this project, we've made an effort to really hang out in Sococo, and I think that's worked well. Would you agree, Daniel?
Yes, I agree. I think the format where you can just... talk out loud and the other person will hear you if they're in the room, rather than having to set up a formal let's go on Skype or let's go on something else. It really encourages informal talk.
Yeah, you need that spontaneous communication that's really you miss out on when you don't have everyone in the same location. And you can replace that to a extent with Sococo.
I must admit, like, before turning up here today, I did a quick hangout with some people from the US, and yeah, just did, I don't know, hit or miss. This one was a miss. Didn't really work at all.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah. It's hard to really pin it down. So when I've done them at work, we normally have a meeting room that's on the invite list. You turn up, and it kind of seamlessly works. Whereas this was individuals saying, "Oh, can you send me the link to the room? Can you invite me into?" And it just that preamble of 5 minutes of difficulty and pain.
And there's one person who can't join the event and started.
And then we started on a different thread of can we share files through it? Oh, I can't see the file share button. I'm going to email them. Everyone tell me when you've got the email and we can talk through the... And it was just, it just became a massive challenge. Just that. I think we might be in the naughty set of not being in the main room when we should be. I'm guessing the talks are about to start. All right, let's wrap it up for now, and we'll do some of the news items afterwards. good luck with the talk, because I know that your talk is, I think, yours third on tonight. Saving the best to last. I think we're all looking forward to it. And next time you're down in London, let's find a bit more time and do it properly.
Yep.
All right, cool. Let's park it for now, and news and stuffs later.
Let's do this then before we don't get to do this.
All right, come on with the show then. So people's ears pricked up when they heard about Sokoko then. Is this the first time you guys have heard of it?
Never actually heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do remote work quite frequently, so it definitely sounds like an interesting tool.
Yes.
You need to recover that. In remote office, you don't have that serendipity, to use a fancy word. Like, you're not overhearing people talking near you. You're not learning a little bit about DevOps because the DevOps guy just happens to be talking about something.
Mm.
So this is quite nice. It's the one problem I've found with it is just if you're in an office where there's background noise, it actually doesn't translate well into a recording. So as we know on this podcast, if we're in the background noise, it goes into the recording, then it can become a bit more problematic. So sometimes you mute out, and then that can separate you off from the
recording. Unless I need to talk and mute myself out, it also was embarrassing things when you forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in terms of like show notes and all that kind of jazz, some of the other stuff that we had about remote collaboration tools that were pitched up there. Think about the interactive screencasts, which was Scrimber, but nothing for Scala.
I like that.
Yeah.
It
looks
cool.
Good.
It
looks
really
cool. But all kind of JavaScript, HTML stuff.
Mm. But it looks like something people are going to contribute to. Like, it's set out to have contributors and big users.
Can you build on top of it then? Put add-ons there?
I don't know, but down the bottom they've got like big users, and it just seems like a UI that's going to be more focused in that. Like, they show the videos by people. I don't know, it could just be a guess, but...
Okay.
It seems like a way they
maybe I didn't give it a fair hearing now. I should go back and revisit it. I scanned it. I did the usual, scanned it, thought,
did
are there
try
any
it?
Languages?
Did you play one of the videos?
No, just sorry if there were any languages supported, that was interesting. So I didn't subscribe.
Never mind.
Yeah, my attention span is not as great as
it's functional JavaScript. Functional JavaScript. Not normal JavaScript.
Win-win.
It's basically an IDE with a video, though. not an IDE, but like a text editor with a video played over the top of it. So you could try anything inside it, I guess. One day.
I wonder if you could put Cloud9 or whatever that thing was.
Cloud9,
comes back again.
Finally remember the name.
The boomerang. like the song. Fabricator web tools, don't know if anyone had a look at that too. That just looked like it was a grab bag of all different tools in one shell or under one login to do stuff. But
yeah, I think Dave and I mentioned this earlier, and it was kind of like you do one thing, you do it really well.
Like the Linux principle, right?
OTW, isn't it? One thing well, kind of.
Obviously, we haven't used it. I like the idea of trying to build like an integrated workflow. Every single team I have ever worked with has done things differently from the previous team.
Mm.
So this one integrated workflow would probably have to be quite flexible to get people involved. But
comes with its own cost too. So if you've ever used Jira in anger, where it's like, oh yeah, just do these. I'll have this Uber board that pulls in these other 10 boards. It's never fun.
It's never the same either, is it? Right?
Yeah.
Everyone customizes it within an inch of its life.
Yeah, you need snowflakes when you're doing agile stuff. So,
yeah.
And the digital Conway clock that you found too, the Game of Life clock.
This is awesome. So I did a bunch of
things.
So it's a LCD clock that is implemented as a bunch of cells in a solar automata. Mm-hmm. So it's Conway's Game of Life, and then little gliders fly around, and they like represent little electrons. And then if you look at the clock face and zoom in, when the bits are filled in, when the bars are filled in, it's a tiny little gliders flying up and down. It's absolutely fascinating.
And that is another. So we were talking about kind of coding challenges for people. I think Game of Life is one that has kind of come. Probably fallen out of fashion recently, but that's one that seems to have done the rounds over the years.
Not so much, actually. Game of Life still very much in fashion, because I started thinking, this is really fascinating. How do you program bits of memory and messages on a cellular automata? And doing Google searches for program cellular automata, you just get tutorials on how to build the grid. And
yeah, I was going to say, because that was a thing that I used to see people asked to do as remote tech tests and submit them for job stuff. I haven't seen it in a long time. I think partly because it takes a long time to review too, and people don't have that time to really go through it.
You need a tech test, which is to build a cellular automata using a cellular automata as the programming language, and then that's the person.
I think that would scare off 90% of candidates most times.
Most jobs are store this in the database. All right, speaking of jobs, Lego advertising jobs in the UK, which is always good to see. Bit of shilling of my own, the Infinite Conf program is out, check it out.
Wait, are you speaking in that?
No, I seem to be the program committee person for too many things. Though they were going to do, I can't remember what happened to the lightning talks thing, because that was tempting, but this was meant to be the year of doing no talks.
Yeah.
This was meant to be the year that was set aside to do other stuff but not do talks.
You're not doing talks, you're arranging talks.
No, he's doing talks.
He's doing talks as well.
Well, now we're talking at Alex Scala and something at Flatmap Norway.
Yeah.
So that should be cool. But
an Infinite Conf, just for the uninitiated, is the big data.
Yeah, ML, AI, and big data processing. So big data processing, and then if you feed it into an engine, what can you do with it? So that's where it goes into machine learning and AI stuff.
Okay, that's the cool.
So yeah, it's all good. So. Did anyone see the sleep learning article too?
I read this and then I tried to explain it back to Dave and realised I didn't absorb any of it, but it's a cool concept nonetheless.
So they think that repetitive tasks, they think they've found parts of the brain where they can basically do muscle memory stimulus to try and make you good at things that are both mental and physical in terms of learning that skill. So
like Kung Fu.
So that's where the kind of likeness to the Matrix comes in. It's like, actually, if this is a muscle memory activity, can you study the pattern that happens, and if that muscle happens to be the brain, can you make it put the electrodes on it to make it do the crunches?
Does that mean you can get like fit at night?
Have you ever tried doing anything like that? Like using those kind
like
of things to... Yeah,
belts.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've never tried. Does it feel strange?
So these are the kind of devices that you get if you ever...
It's like vibration plate.
Crunch your tummy for you, so they
You can wear it anytime.
Yeah. And it basically makes your muscle work, so it like tenses your muscle for you. You don't have to do anything.
It just passes current through your muscle, doesn't it?
So your muscles are doing the work, but you're not doing anything. I don't know how well they work, because you're not burning any fat.
Yeah, yeah. I've tried these. It was hard to tell the difference, but no. I try, because these are the kind of devices that, you know, when you have kids, they're often used as pain control in labour wards.
Oh, okay.
So you're often put on your back to kind of stop, to act as a kind of pain relief device. So
they're available monthly for the women's monthly troubles too. You can get electric currents for your
I didn't
pain.
Try it for that.
No.
But it probably wouldn't have made any difference for me for that either. speaking of which, International Women's Day.
Woohoo!
Did anyone do anything for it? No?
No.
Is there a thing?
Okay.
I did find out that there's read a great article, which we'll have to put in the show notes, so I'll have to find it, where there's profiling... You're saying, first of all, there's an International Men's Day, and searches for International Men's Day peak the day after International Women's Day.
I really want to say something.
I think there was a lady called Sue Black who posted a link to that, too. She was a very smart woman who did the book Saving Bletchley Park. But yes, there was a lot of backlash about the What's International Men's Day. And, you know, it's every day of the
I thought that was funny.
Every other day.
Thing.
Although, disappointingly, Twitter wasn't a great place to be that day. But Twitter's never a great place to be when something interesting is happening in the press. But I thought,
Feast our famine, isn't it? It's one of those, either extreme in the views that are there. Scala Bridge, Switzerland is happening too, which was kind of related to the International Women's Day, because I guess the idea behind Scala Bridge is that it happens all over the world and it's meant to promote diversity in tech and to try and focus on bringing more women into tech, which
Scarlet Tech specifically.
Yeah, well,
which is the cool. Yeah,
the bridge into Scarlet.
You know, like that's cool. Like Scarlet has its diversity movement. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, well, colourful too. Big Data Coursera course finally went live. Woohoo! JDK 9 announced with modularization.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say it slowly because I can't say it quickly.
And it's, yeah.
What's the deal with that?
Ahead of time compilation.
Splitting up. Yeah.
Monolith splitting on the JDK level. I think this came from Project Coin and stuff years ago.
Okay.
Where it was like, what can you have as individual packages that you can pull in to kind of build your own JVM and all this jazz?
Okay.
But it seemed to just be. So Coin was the idea that it's like loose change and, you know,
right.
You just spend what you need, but. It's been kicking around for years. The fact that they've actually set a release date for it.
This is similar stuff to what Scala 2. Wait, what's the next version? 13. No?
Yeah, 2.13.
2.13 is all about modularizing the Scala libraries as well.
So are we talking like isolated class loaders and things like that? Or?
That had been talked about at one stage. I don't know where this is up to now.
Okay.
But again, this seems to have been years in the crafting. So
yeah.
We will see. Session types in Idris. Edwin Brady posted something out about that. And Scala Native hit 0.1, which might be a good thing to have a hack on for your Conway's Game of Life. Idris.
Well, yeah.
99.1 came out. A load of other stuff.
Whoa, what's that?
Whoa.
Oh, and Bucky.
What is Bucky,
Martin?
So I've
heard
of
this Bucky thing. But,
yeah, I think it's named after Bucky O'Hurley, the comic book character.
Yeah.
Was he a rocket ship?
Was he a rocket ship?
Yeah, I
remember the
rockets
cartoon.
Rockets and toads and, yeah.
Does anyone else remember the cartoon Bucky O'Hare?
Yeah.
And the theme tune to it?
Yeah, Captain Bucky O'Hare.
Yeah.
Goes where an ordinary rabbit would dare.
Ooh, rabbit.
But of course, that was...
Rabbit.
MQ.
So
if you want to use Rabbit MQ or AMQPM Scala,
oh,
check it out.
Seamless.
Wow, you're well trained.
Like a machine.
Got the skills.
Like a machine.
Yeah,
Blockchain news, OpenAI V2 is out, and Google DeepMind, apparently, one of the subsidiaries of Google called DeepMind, seems to be using blockchain to keep public records of public NHS records from what I remember. So this actually seems like a valid use case for blockchain, and it's not often that I say that. So
this is your blockchain minute, book to you.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I think what they're doing is it is a blockchain implementation, but you can see if anyone's read a patient's record or accessed it, or so it's meant to be a non-corruptible audit log. But yeah, anyway. Ethereum for cock, one of my favourites.
What?
And Ethereum for cock, the French programming language. Programming language that was named after a French person. And Ethereum name service launched too, which I'm slightly dubious about, but this had been talked about when there was that big botnet thing that brought the DNS down. So there's now ENS, the Ethereum name service.
No,
I suppose the big ops news of last week was Docker Next happened.
Is Google trying to be AWS? Is that the same?
I think they're making a play into that, going into that market, aren't they? Mm. So they've got Cloud Engines now, GCP, whatever the P stands for, platform, I guess.
What's that, container builder?
So yeah, they've got a container builder, they've got an equivalent of Lambda. Functions with Google Cloud Functions. Firebase seems to have got proper integrations. Loads and loads of stuff. Have a look at the show notes.
Cool. It's all about startup times for me.
So,
the Lambda Functions. Lambda Functions start up fast, they're good.
I mean, so the other thing, which is kind of the slightly more kind of eco side of it, is that a while ago we posted in some show notes about the eco and electricity footprint of hosting providers.
Oh,
right. And I think AWS didn't fare very well.
Okay.
But I think Google were one of the few that had like a zero emissions kind of rating.
Even
for things like YouTube, and YouTube is meant to be power hungry.
Yeah.
But yeah, their kind of zero rating did really very well. Kate's cheat sheets out there, some stuff about reliability, engineering, and Docker turned 4 today. So for a 4-year-old product, it's white hot right now.
Doing all right.
Yeah, it's getting there, isn't it? okay, so there's the hipster filler text, which had done the rounds, the Lorem Ipsum for hipsters, if anyone had a look.
I literally have no idea what
there was lots of. Yeah, there was lots of words like VHS.
Right.
You know what VHS is, yeah. joking aside.
Yes, I used to have the TV with the VHS under the, like, built into the portable TV that I had in my room.
I've got Three Wolf Moon in the middle here.
So yeah, we went to the ITV archives in Leeds last week, which was quite incredible, actually. It's imagine, like, a factory, a warehouse just full of VHS tapes and film reels.
And reels.
Did they ever have Betamax on ITV?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, that is properly...
They got it all.
Okay, yeah. Shoreditch Taxidermy Typewriter Plus One Deep versus Sustainable Church Key Three Wolf Moon. There you go.
Yeah.
That's about as hipster as you can possibly get.
And I suppose the other big thing that was kind of doing the rounds last week, the BBC interview crash. Yeah.
The guy who was...
So this was a bit awkward, and this is related to the International Women's Day too, because a lot of...
The backlash.
Yeah, did you see all of that? Why did the nanny come and grab the kids? And it's like, it's not the nanny, it's the mum, it's the wife. But, very weird, but...
Yeah.
Well,
he
sort of... the bit that I thought was a bit awkward was he's trying to hold the kid back. So.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I don't think he realised how wide the camera was panned. He's just trying to split the kid.
I tell you what, though, if... Yeah,
she just owned it.
I have been
she
there.
She was brilliant.
Yeah, I've been there. It's very tricky.
She killed it. She came back in and closed the door.
The poor lady. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. It's,
oh, boy.
I've been there before. And that's even worse because, you know, it's a PR media thing of on kind of proper TV, not on, like, video conference.
Mm. I think it's been received, other than the backlash, really well, actually, because people are kind of relating to it. And quite funny.
That's good.
Anyway.
All right, I think we're on the changeover. As usual, have a look at the show notes. There's tons and tons of events. Latest one that was announced that was added was Curriam Conference in Barcelona, which the CFP is open now. I think we might be doing some stuff at FlatMap Oslo too. I think that's the only other kind of conference-related news that I can think of. Otherwise, let's do something next time. And, yeah, we're probably good to go. Right, cool.
Bye.
Bye.